Startup on Market Street. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the beautiful main branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 16th of March, 2017. On this date, in 597 BC, Jerusalem is captured by the Babylonians. 1521, Ferdinand Magellan of Portugal lands in the Philippines after sailing around the southern tip of the Americas, what is now called the Straits of Magellan. His crew are the first Europeans to reach the Philippines. His ship, the Trinidad, completes the first ever circumnavigation of the globe the next year. 1935, Adolf Hitler orders the rearmament of the German army in violation of the Treaty of Versailles. Conscription is reintroduced to provide soldiers for formation of the Wehrmacht. 1968, American soldiers in Vietnam carry out the My Lai massacre, killing between 347 and 500 people, depending on the estimates. 2014, a fake referendum is held in Crimea for the region to secede from Ukraine and become a part of the Russian Federation. Birthdays are James Madison, Jerry Lewis, and Bernardo Bertolucci. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepealpod.com or send us an email at tepealpod@gmail.com. By the way, I got a new computer, and we had some migration issues last time around. We uploaded a little bit late. I've been trying to get things right on iTunes and other methods. So anybody have any issues with downloading or iTunes or listening online or anything else, please let us know. We're all ears. Hundreds of people took to the streets in Batumi on the 11th of March in a protest that turned into a riot. As the night progressed, by morning, rioters had destroyed police and civilian cars, other property, and injured several people, including a number of police officers. The incident started when local residents confronted patrol police officers who had issued a fine for a car parking violation, eventually brought the driver in question into custody. According to news reports, the demonstrators were angry at what they considered to be excessively harsh tactics used by law enforcement in Batumi. However, the driver himself said he was not treated with excessive force. As the demonstration gained steam, several hundred people, including a number of national movement activists, gathered in the city center and blocked Chavchavadze Avenue, Batumi's main street. There, police arrested six people. The demonstrators then moved on to the regional police headquarters, where they demanded the release of detainees as well as the resignation of Ajara's regional police chief, Kakhabar Bukhadze. Bukhadze has been blamed for the use of excessive force by police as well as for disrespecting local people by using the term Tatar to refer to members of the local population, a term that Ajarans and other Georgians, regardless of religion, tend to find offensive, because it is. At least that's the way it's intended when used in Georgia. Bukhadze is from Gori, not a native Ajaran, and was recently appointed by the government of Tbilisi. Around midnight, riot police moved in to remove demonstrators from the vicinity of the police station using tear gas and rubber bullets. At that point, demonstrators tried to storm the police station, throwing stones at police and torching several police and civilian cars. At around 12:30 a.m., Ajara's regional government head, Zuda Pataradze, gave an address on the public broadcaster, urging everyone to keep calm and assuring them the six detainees would be released promptly. They were released shortly before 2 a.m. The unrest continued until the early morning, by which time around 30 people had been injured, including several police officers, and about 40 arrested. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili gave an address accusing destructive political forces of provoking the unrest and saying that police officers used the minimum amount of force necessary to get the situation under control. Many commentators suggested the demonstrators and subsequent riot may have been pre-planned. Georgia's ombudsman, Uchananuashvili, made a preliminary assessment of the situation and decided that it couldn't have escalated so quickly without prior planning on the part of demonstrators. For example, a large number of people gathered quickly in response to the traffic police when protesters gathered around the police station with Molotov cocktails. Otsneva and the National Movement are blaming each other for the incident. For example, the Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Kahi Kaladze blamed the National Movement for instigating the riot, pointing to the fact that they came out and expressed support for the demonstrators and called on their supporters to hold parallel rallies in other parts of the country. Zaza Bibilashvili, the National Movement's political council, blamed the government for mishandling the situation and said Otsneva is solely responsible for the unrest. The Movement for Liberty, European Georgia, the party that split off from the national movement in January, blamed both the government and national movement, saying the social conditions have worsened under Otsneva, but that the national movement leaders used irresponsible rhetoric that stoked the unrest. Yeah. Voters went to the polls in Abkhazia earlier this week to elect a new National Assembly. 137 candidates registered for 35 available seats, and about 131,000 people total were eligible to vote. 22,787 ethnic Georgians living in Gali, Tvarchkeli, and Ochamchide districts were denied the right to vote because the state deemed their Abkhaz passports to be issued illegally because their citizenship in Abkhazia couldn't be verified at the time they received the passports. The policy was implemented back in 2014. As for the election results, 22 seats will go to runoff election scheduled for May. Of the 13 seats that were decided, one went to former Abkhazian President Alexander Ankvab, who made a successful return to politics after being forced to resign back in 2014. Also elected was Almaz Japua, a vocal opponent of Russian ownership of real estate in Abkhazia, which is a very hot political issue there. One notable figure who didn't get in is Sergei Shamba, the chairman of the territory's largest party, United Abkhazia. The election was called illegal by the government of Tbilisi, which called it an attempt to legitimize ethnic cleansing of Georgians and Russians, Russian occupation of Georgian territory. The condemnation was echoed by NATO, the EU, Azerbaijan, Poland, and Estonia. Following up on the Rustavi Oti case, U.S. Senator John McCain gave an interview with Voice of America where he said the ruling is an attempt to silence opposition media and curtail Georgia's pluralistic and open media landscape. He encouraged the government to make sure the media environment remains pluralistic. In travel to and from Georgia, President Mark Balashvili was in Baku this week for the Global Baku Forum, which focused on transatlantic cooperation and counterterrorism. Turkish Prime Minister Binali Yildirim met with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili in Batumi on Wednesday. Kvitikashvili will go to Istanbul in May for the Black Sea Economic Cooperation Summit. Hungarian Foreign Minister Petre Szijjarto arrived in Tbilisi on Thursday to meet with President Prime Minister, as well as Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze and several cabinet ministers. The Hungarian government will sign an agreement to provide financial aid to people affected by the flood in 2015. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Pavlo Kilkim will arrive in Tbilisi on Friday. He'll meet with the President, Prime Minister, as well as Patriarch Ilya II. Klimkin will also visit the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Russian President Vladimir Putin approved a 2015 agreement between Russia and South Ossetia to integrate South Ossetian soldiers into the Russian army as contract soldiers, thereby being a convenient way to distribute money the way Russia does with Armenia. It also says that changes to the structure and objectives of South Ossetia's own army will be decided in agreement with Russia. The move was immediately condemned by Georgia's foreign ministry, with Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze calling it a barrier to resolution of the conflict. This policy comes after Putin's approval of a similar agreement with Abkhazia last year. Protests erupted in Sakhalin Valley in response to a decision by South Ossetia's Election Commission to refuse to register President Edward Kokoiti from running in the presidential election scheduled for the 9th of April. Roughly 300 people demonstrated in front of South Ossetia's Supreme Court on the 13th of March, waving Russian and South Ossetian flags and holding pictures of Kokoiti and Vladimir Putin. Despite the demonstrations, the next day the Supreme Court ruled to uphold the ban on Kokoiti. The government appointed six ambassadors to six countries, including Ukraine, Poland, Romania, Brazil, Australia, and Malaysia. Gela Dumbadze is the new ambassador to Ukraine. He's previously state minister for diaspora issues. Ilya Darciashvili will go to Poland. He's the first deputy minister for the Ministry of Infrastructure. Nicolas Nicolaschvili is going to Romania. He served as ambassador to Poland, Slovenia, and Armenia. David Solomonia will be ambassador to Brazil. He was most recently director of the European Integration Department of the Foreign Ministry. Giorgi Dolidze will go to Australia. He's been with the Foreign Ministry since 1997. Lastly, Nicolas Khazava will be ambassador to Malaysia after having served as ambassador to the Republic of Korea since 2012. Speaker of Parliament Irakli Kobakhidze was elected a member of the board of the Progressive Alliance, an international network of more than 130 social democratic parties, of which Otsneba was a founding member back in 2013. Kobakhidze's board membership will last for 2 years, and he pledged to use it as an opportunity to better represent Georgia internationally. 58 former employees of Rustavi Azoti are suing the company in Rustavi City Court on grounds that they were dismissed illegally. They're trying to get their jobs back and receive compensation from the company for the time they were out of work. The workers are being represented by the Georgian Trade Union Confederation. A large number of workers were fired from Rustavi Azoti chemical factory on the 26th of January. According to their account, they showed up to work but were refused entry into the building and were told they are no longer needed by the company. Israeli Ambassador to Georgia Shabtai Tsuri defended the country's measures to reject asylum applicants by Georgia. He said that roughly 80% of Georgians who travel to Israel on tourist visas end up staying in the country illegally, and that it has created problems for Israel's social system. That being said, his country has no plans to cancel the visa-free regime with Georgia. A Georgia-Iran technology transfer office opened in Iran this week. The office will provide a platform for Georgian startups to develop their business operations in Iran and is an initiative of the Innovation and Technology Agency. The central bank reported that in the month of February, inbound remittances were up 18% from the same period 1 year ago. Inbound remittances totaled 249 million lari, with about one-third of that coming from Russia. Interestingly, the U.S. overtook Greece and Italy to become the second largest source of remittances. Geostat published a report on foreign direct investment, or FDI, for 2016. Total inbound FDI amounted to $1.645 billion, a 22% increase from 2015. The largest source countries were Azerbaijan, Turkey, the UK, Netherlands, Czech Republic, in that order. The transportation and communications sector received the largest share of FDI, about $645 million, followed by energy and construction, respectively. The Russian airlines Nordavia will launch flights starting this June from St. Petersburg to Tbilisi and Batumi. The St. Petersburg-Tbilisi flight will be made each Monday and Friday. St. Petersburg-Batumi flight will be every Saturday. Budget airline Ryanair is developing a plan to enter the Georgian market. They haven't announced specifics, but the airline will operate from Tbilisi International Airport. They're also looking at Kutaisi International Airport, and they expect to open formal negotiations with the Georgian government soon. 11 Georgian wines were showcased this week at the Foodex Japan, Asia's largest annual food and beverage trade show. There, Georgia's wine industry was represented by Khareba Winery, Vaziani, Kinsmaroli Corporation, Zugadze Wine Company, Bessini, and Schumann. Georgia's participation in Foodex was made possible by the Georgia National Wine Agency. Also this week, six wines were featured at the Raw Wine Fair in London from Gozo Wines, Natenadze's Wine Cellar, Papris Veli, Nautari Wines, Tibani, and Gaios Sopromadze's Cellar. The textile company Imeri launched a new sewing workshop in Kutaisi, about 325,000-year workshop in Kutaisi, with about 325,000 euro allocated to the Produce in Georgia program. Most of Imeri's products are for export, but they started producing for the local market in 2014. National rugby team the Lelos beat Russia by a score of 28-14 on Sunday at Dinamo Stadium. Good job, Lelos. Dancer Nina Ananiashvili received the Oracle of Art, Georgia's highest cultural achievement award from the Ministry of Culture. Ananiashvili has been a leader in ballet since 1981, dancing at Moscow's Bolshoi Theater and leading Georgia's State Ballet from 2004 to 2014. Roughly 100 English language translations of Georgian books were featured at the London Book Fair this week. The Georgian exhibition was put on by the Georgian Publishers and Booksellers Association. Parliamentary news, President Mark Velashvili is campaigning to get the public involved in the Parliament's constitutional reform process under the slogan, Constitution Belongs to Everyone. He wants to establish a new tradition whereby constitutional amendments won't be made behind closed doors in the interest of the dominant political force of the time, as has been several times in the past. Constitutional Reform Commission is currently working on proposed amendments and is scheduled to present them on the 30th of April. The 73-member commission was set up by Otsneba last December following their winning a supermajority in Parliament. A special commission drafted changes. A special commission drafted changes to the administrative code that would implement a new noise regulation. The amendments will go to Parliament for a vote next week, and if approved, will go into effect on the 1st of July. Excessive noise will be punishable depending on time of day. For individuals, noise violation during daylight hours will be punishable by a fine of 150 lari, and during nighttime, 300 lari. For businesses, the fines will be 500 and 1,000 lari, respectively. Civil society coalition This Affects You is mobilizing public support and calling on the president to veto the surveillance bill passed by Parliament earlier this year. This Affects You is comprised of a number of organizations, including the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. They believe the bill gives too much power to law enforcement agencies and potentially puts the right of privacy at risk. This week, they called on the president to veto the bill and announced they would submit an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR. The meme this week features the now famous BBC dad with his wife in Korea, two children, but with a twist. The dad's face is covered with an EU flag. The two kids represent Georgia and Ukraine, and mom, who pulls the kid away from dad and out of the room, is covered with a Russian flag. Josh Kuseta, writing for Eurasianet, covers growing popular discontent with Turkish influence in Batumi. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has repeatedly evoked the Ottoman Empire as a model for the current Turkish state, and Ajara was part of the Ottoman Empire until 1878. These days, Turkey accounts for the majority of foreign investment into the region, and its government is starting to promote cultural projects there, too. This isn't sitting well with ethnic Georgians, many of whom are vocal about their opposition to the construction of a new mosque in Batumi. Also for Eurasianet, Oliver Urs Lenz covers Abkhazia's recent tightening of the administrative boundary line. The authorities are closed. Two border crossing points on the 5th of March, claiming it was necessary to better control the boundary line. It also raised fines for illegal crossing into territory administered by Tbilisi. In Lenz's view, the authorities in Suhumi view the ethnic Georgian residents in Gali as a fifth column and want to reduce their contact with the rest of Georgia. Luka Pertaya of OC Media considers whether the unrest in Batumi is the result of broad-based discontent with the political and economic conditions in the region. He focuses on a statement by the Human Rights Education and Monitoring Center that highlighted social crisis in the region. Also, regional identity was a factor. During the incident, demonstrators shouted Ajara for Ajarans, and religious tension between Christians and Muslims in Ajara has several people on edge. Writing for Jamestown, Edward Abramyan discusses Armenia's recent efforts to revitalize its relationship with NATO. At a meeting last month in Brussels, Armenian President Serge Sarkisian invited NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg to Yerevan. Sarkisian also stated that there is no contradiction between allying with Russia and having a strong partnership with NATO. Maybe. But many interpret these moves as an attempt by Armenia to weaken Russia's influence over the country's foreign and domestic policies, of which there is a lot. Transparency International Georgia released its report on Georgian electoral campaign funding sources for 16 major parties during last year's pre-election and post-election period. They find that together the parties received 32 million lari in donations, with Otsneba getting 21.32 million of that, slightly more than two-thirds. TI referred to that large concentration of funds by a single party as unprecedented. Second was a national movement with 2.8 million lari, followed by the Alliance of Patriots with 1.7. Chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee and member of Otsneba, Tedo Japaridze, has an op-ed in Democracy and Freedom Watch where he takes aim at the criticism coming from the EU regarding the Rustavioti ruling. His argument is that any criticism from the EU causes a major chain reaction in Georgia's political class, with opposition parties and media using it as fuel to discredit the government. He also brings up the dilemma caused by the European Court of Human Rights suspension of the ruling. If the government failed to enforce a ruling by the Supreme Court due to outside pressure, it erodes the system of checks and balances. Although he doesn't say that the terrible decision erodes the system of checks and balances. Ted is a great guy and has done tons for Georgia over many years, but I have to say that I don't buy this about checks and balances. There are lots of court decisions that go unimplemented, for example, related to collateral, and nobody's too worried about that. He doesn't discuss how flimsy the actual case was, and the European ruling focuses, as it should, on that flimsiness. Writing for the Georgia Institute of Politics, Lincoln Mitchell starts with a good question. What does he have to say about democratic development in Georgia that he hasn't already said? His main point is that democratization experts need to pay more attention to the needs and perceptions of people outside the political class. Georgian analysis tends to be an elite project, and its practitioners, of which he is a member, miss a lot of important details because of it. Mitchell also says he should stop thinking of democratization in Georgia as a that we should stop thinking of democratization in Georgia as a linear process. It's more cyclical, and right now the question is whether Otsuneva can break the cycle of one-party dominance leading to eventual collapse that has characterized every ruling party for the past 25 years. Lincoln Mitchell also has a new Georgia analysis devoted to the Rustavioti ruling and how it will likely polarize the country's politics further. Neither the government's opponents nor its supporters are entirely correct, however. In his view, the Rustavioti case is the product of the murky landscape of the national movement years. However, any repression of it, legal or not, is harmful to the country's media environment and does more damage to Otsuneva's reputation than could be done by any negative coverage from Rustavioti. Chaikhana profiles Alan Paratsayev, a rock musician and a member of the political opposition in South Ossetia, now 46 years old. Paratsayev recounts how the region's culture has changed over the years. He thinks South Ossetia's culture has become stifling and repressive, and a big part of the problem are government policies making it difficult for young people to travel to the West or even to Moscow or even to North Ossetia at times. It's a really interesting article. Take a look at it. Good on Chaikhana for profiling it. Will Dunbar and Angela Wheeler for Calvert Journal cover the work of Victor Jorbanadze, an unsung postmodernist architect who designed some of Georgia's most memorable buildings as well as masterpieces in other countries. Examples of his work include the Wedding Palace outside of Tbilisi, an iconic building that was visited by foreign leaders such as Margaret Thatcher during the Soviet period. Not sure if it's postmodern in the typical Venturi concept of it, but anyway, we'll leave that to Will and Angela. Last week, we covered the opening of the Quadrum, a new hotel in Gudauri made entirely from repurposed shipping containers. This week, the Quadrum is featured in a video by the BBC. NPR's Morning Edition takes us to the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Their reporter, Stephanie Joyce, tells the story of residents of the village of Kurvaleti, which was split in half when the boundary line was moved deep into Georgian territory in 2015. All this stuff to read is posted in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 254, the incarceration rate per 100,000 people in Georgia, according to the Institute of Criminal Policy Research. In the region, that puts Georgia on a par with Turkey and Lithuania behind Russia and Belarus. The documentary film Bikes vs. Cars will be shown at Backstage 76 near Vake Park on the 23rd of March. The film will start at 9 p.m. Bikes vs. Cars is a film by Frederick Gerton that promotes bicycling as a more human alternative to traveling by car in urban areas. It follows a number of activists around the world who are fighting for cities more amenable to the needs of bicyclists. If you care about the city of Tbilisi, go see this movie and get anyone you know who works for the government to go with you. OC Media is having a launch party on the 30th of March at Fabrika. The party starts at 6:30 p.m. and Ensemble Panchisi will be performing. OC Media launched earlier this year as a joint project founded by Dominic K. Kagara, Mari Nikuradze, and Caroline Sutcliffe. Movement Theater on 182 Agmashenabeli is hosting weekly jazz jam sessions each Tuesday night at 9 p.m. The sessions feature local jazz musicians. Tbilisi resident Antonin and Inka Jelinek, they're currently finishing an electronic Prague guidebook called Tony's Alternative Guide to Prague. They're still running an Indiegogo campaign to get the project over the finish line. If you're interested in contributing or just want to learn more about the project, look for the book's title, Tony's Alternative Guide, that's T-O-N-Y, Tony's Alternative Guide to Prague. Look for it on the Indiegogo site and give them a little bit of help. The Tbilisi Marathon team is inviting anyone interested to fill out an online survey about the marathon and what they'd like to see in it this year. If interested, send an email to Tbilisi Marathon, all written together, at Heidelberg Cement, also all written together, .ge. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com, or post to the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1964, from Dunleith, Mississippi, smack dab in the middle of the Delta, this is Jimmy Reed with Down in Mississippi.
In the morning, baby, no. Down the railroad track, lay low in the evening brine, bring the preacher back. Eat up all the chicken, no butter, fast food in there. Look over at